Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I was so impressed by the way the Kircher family handled this terrific, horrific crime, the murder of their daughter. They were so stoic and so elegant, if you can use that word, in their grief. And they didn't seek out the media, and they didn't want to talk to anyone, and they didn't have a story to get across. They just wanted justice for their daughter. And it was such a contrast to the American sort of in-your-face public relations campaign where, you know, if you ask for an interview with one of Amanda's parents, they would say, well, I didn't like the story you wrote last week. I think you're not telling the story we want to be told. So, no, you can't talk to them. And that's a very influential way to control the media, by controlling access to information and access to sources. O.J. Simpson murder trials, O.J. Simpson in the United States many, many years ago. And I remember at the time thinking, wow, that must have been hard as a journalist to cover that, because it's such a sensational trial. Then to find yourself in the center ring of a media circus is daunting. Those of us who lived in Italy at the time, those of us who understood the language, we were sort of, in some strange way, at the epicenter of this media circus. And you felt sort of responsibility, and you also felt very strange when people from all over the world would descend on Perugia to cover the case, and you felt like they didn't understand it, or that they were too influenced by the Knox family, or didn't even mention Meredith Kircher's name at all in their stories. It was frustrating, but it gave me resolve to stay objective, to sort of maintain my theory that Amanda Knox could not be innocent just because of the passport she carried, but it has to be about evidence. And as someone who covered the trial and went to every single hearing in the first and second trials, I really did feel there was enough evidence to convict her, to find her complicit, at least, as having a role in this murder. My family hates me, absolutely hates me. And I got incredibly vile text messages all throughout the trial from Amanda Knox's stepfather. Those who supported her sent me hate mail, hoped, you know, wished upon me the same outcome that Meredith Kircher had, you know, horrific sorts of things. Whenever I had a threat that seemed a little bit strange or too dangerous, I just handed it to the police in Perugia, because I thought, oh gosh, you know, maybe I could be walking down the street and who knows what would happen. There was a lot of anger towards anyone who was trying to be objective, especially if we were American.
Hi, welcome back to True Crimes Podcast. That was a clip of an interview with journalist and author Barbie Latsa-Nadeau. She wrote the book Angel Face about the Meredith Kircher murder. And there she's discussing the PR and also her experience with the trolls and the abuse that she withstood for her objective portrayal, you know, of covering the trials. And today we're going to be talking with guest Isabel McFadden about her experiences when covering the Madeleine McCann case. Hi, Isabel. How are you?
Hello, how are you, Liz? Nice for you to have me on.
Yes,
you know, just listening to the small, you know, preview, it just rang so true, you know, the paid PR. And you can really see the difference between paid PR and just people with opinion, because people with opinion are just talking about their idea of the case, you know, what they've read, what they think happened. And they usually stick to the facts and what they've learned about the case. How you know that somebody is a paid troll is that the aggressiveness. When somebody has something to lose, they become very aggressive. So, of course, when you're collecting a salary, you know, and you can look online, there's actually ads for paid PR. For example, one that I just pulled today was, all you need is a computer, internet connection, and zero conscience. This is actually the ad for this particular paid for trolling ad. So, it's very obvious that it's become a moneymaker.
Well, and not only that, I mean, yeah, they do. They are paid, and they deny being paid usually, so you can't be sure when you're dealing with someone online. But not only that, these PR trolls often take their attacks on people who disagree with them offline and into the real world, and that's when you're dealing with some serious harassment issues. And with the help of their PR firm and the money, they're able to do thorough research on victims or people that they disagree with them. And you experienced some of that as well, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So I first became. I'm Portuguese, and I was born in Lisbon, Portugal, and I'm a Portuguese citizen. I'm also have a French background. With my mother in France. But I moved to the United States when I was a teenager, and I became also an American citizen, which I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of both of my nationalities. When I first heard about the Madeleine McCann case, I didn't really go on social media and talk about it. I mean, I watched everything, and I had satellite TV, so I would watch, you know, Sky News, and then I would watch Portuguese news, and there was a huge discrepancy in the two. And then, of course, American TV was just regurgitating whatever PR would tell them, and a lot of lies would come out. And you knew that this wasn't true, especially when the police files in Portugal were released. Now, I mean, just sticking to the troll idea, you know, like we have recently, Amazon, they had to actually fire some of their distributors because they were hiring paid PR to badmouth other vendors. This is how ugly it's become. When I first was harassed, I kept all of these horrible tweets that came at me, Facebook pages written about it. Actually, there was this one from Amanda Knox, troll who's actually crossed over it. The name is Bourgeois View, but you know they change their names all the time. Who actually created a page just about me? And of course, when you click on it, it's been taken down because I think a lot of these blog spots they block these because they know that these people are continuously doing this type of thing. So, but I did go to police. They understand it very well, and they did take a report. So I do have a report with some of the most dangerous tweets that I did receive to my children.
Well, they threatened your
children
at one point, right? Yeah, tell them the story about your child.
Yeah, so my son, a minor, was involved in this amazing program in Pasadena in geology, Pasadena, California, home to Caltech. So if you want to go into that field, you know, and in high school you're already kind of deciding what you want to do, there's all these amazing programs. And there was an alumni that was online that had been was an engineer for Caltech. And he started to tell me, oh, my God, really, that's his interest. You know, that was my major. Anything that you need, you know, yes, I know all about the program. I was one of the founders. You know, if your son wants to go, this was all about Pasadena. Now, I was having this conversation, some of it in public. We did take it into a private forum, but some of it in public. A woman named Barbara Mueller from the UK, who used to be trolling for the McCanns like every day and night, she posted maybe like a day later that she was going to send one of her men to Pasadena, knowing very well what, the threat was to me. Of course, you know, some people are like, what is she talking about? Why is a man going to Pasadena? I knew exactly what she was talking about. She was talking about this conversation where I was saying my son would be alone in Pasadena, which is, you know, about an hour from my home for this summer program. So just, you know, this kind of thing, you know, my daughter did, the teenagers now, they do this, you know, challenge, you know, bucket challenge and, you know, eating like funny foods. And so they have a YouTube channel like a lot of the teens have now. It's just darling. It's very cute. And all their friends, you know, they're all opening their own. And I log on to Twitter, and there is my daughter being discussed, being daft and dumb, and she's so pretty, but she's probably stupid like her mother. I mean, just like amazing things. Then I sold, the craziest one was we sold a $1 million home in Seal Beach when I actually went to put the home for sale, which we sold in one day, amazingly. They told me, they were like, you know, Zillow has these alerts. You have all these alerts from England. Like, people had registered to find out any changes to my house.
Wow, from the UK. Why would anyone in the UK, right,
care about what I'm doing, what I'm selling? I mean, and it just went on. Then they started to troll one of our investors, which was actually a little bit frightening. I didn't mention it much. But so this is the kind of thing that they do. And the more popular I became with millions of viewers on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, and because of me being Portuguese, I started to have a lot of journalists calling me. I've spoken to a few police officers. The head of the Portuguese investigation actually contacted me on some information I had. And as the more information I started to get on the case, the worse it got for me. I mean, there's just pages and pages written.
Okay, now, but going back to the beginning, though, the very beginning, because I want to point out another thing that's well known with these trolls, these PR trolls, is that they attempt to get people fired from their jobs. So I was wondering, you had a story about that as well when you first started out, how they tried to get you fired?
Yes, of course, of course. I mean, because my husband is self-employed. We have multiple companies that are under trust, so it's very hard to find out, you know, what our companies are. But one of them, it's very public because it's international. And basically, yes, you know, we were getting messages on one of our company's emails letting the company know that the wife of the owner was trolling the parents of a dead child, which was kind of funny because, not funny, sad, but they actually admitted in their trolling that Madeline was dead, which is something the McCanns don't, you know. But some of these paid trolls, they're just paid to troll, and they don't always portray what the, they slip because a lot of them are not very fluent on the narrative. So especially Nancy and Bourgeois View, those two accounts, when they first
Nancy
came
Parks.
On and they did the crossover from the Knox to the McCann, which of course you know there, because why would you be, you know, trolling for two completely different cases?
They jump from case to case. You see them. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. Well, because that's, you know, that's what you have. It makes perfect sense because for them it's just, you know, double
business,
double the fun,
double
the business. So when they first came on, their tweets were very erratic, and they did not, they were somehow the McCann narrative, but sometimes they would mess up. But then you started to see that the more experienced trolls were actually feeding them the correct narrative. And so their narrative, as the weeks went by, became more along the lines of, you know, what the McCann narrative is, which is very, very strict, which is, you know, Madeline is alive somewhere, possibly in the hands of pedophiles, and that the McCanns are still looking for her. Although
they have trouble keeping the story straight between cases. Yeah, it is difficult.
Yeah,
they're bouncing around.
Exactly. So exactly.
So how about harassment with you covered harassment with the family members. Other things they do, how about searching? I know one instance where they go back and search you online, any of your social media. And I know there was one crime writer that they found an old blog, like on MySpace or something like 10 years old. When she was very young, she had written something. And they took that information and threw it in her face present day on social media, and it was something, you know, to humiliate her. So these are the kinds of things that they'll do. They have all this time and energy to go back and research anything you've done and all your friends and family on LinkedIn. And
I had that too. Professionally, you know, I was elected. I was a PTA president of a school. I was also secretary, VP of different communities, and there was an article. So whenever there's actually quite a few articles about written about me in the news, because I do a lot of charity for my husband's companies and, you know, just different things that I've personally done, because, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. So I try to occupy my time with different projects. And so one of them, there is a man at my kid's school when they were younger, who was found, not found, the case is still going on, but it's absolutely true. He's pleaded guilty, I believe. Was molesting not the children at the school, but coaches from his, that worked for him. He was actually the PE teacher, okay? So when he was arrested, I was the contact for the school still. I don't know why, but, I mean, this was years later. But still, under PTA president, it's still my name, because I think I did the most social things and social projects with the school. So my name was still there. And I immediately got a call from a friend from the Orange County Register, which is quite a large paper, asking me about the case. And I was like, you know what? I literally just watched it on TV seconds ago. And my husband was like, doesn't that guy, like, they're talking about McGaw. They're talking about your school. Isn't it the PE teacher? And I said, yeah, yeah. And he's like, wow, that's crazy. So I really didn't know any much about it. So I said, you know, promote, you know, I'm completely shocked. This guy is very popular. He had been at the school for 25 years. He had been at the school doing the programs for 25 years. And so people just loved him. So I said, you know what, I'm quite shocked. And, you know, I promoted his programs, because as PTA president, that's what you do. You promote the programs at the school, the arts, the sports.
So the trolls found out about this and claimed that you promoted a pedophile?
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Okay. I got
you. How
yeah.
amazing. But, of course, I actually ended my sentence. I said, I'm not saying he didn't do it. I said, it's very possible. We don't know. This has just come out. By the way, not only was I praised by the principal at the school, also the mayor. He's like, thank you. Your interview was perfect. You know, you did not dismiss him. It was the perfect response, because, of course, the city had been employing him for the summer school, for the summer programs. So they were just, everybody was horrified. So, anyways, but
well, speaking of pedophiles, didn't you find out that the PR firm hired by the McCanns wasn't Clement Floyd, you were telling me?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that's just such a complicated. There is a man who was a politician. He was also the grandson of Sigmund Freud. His name was Clement Floyd, and he lived in, no, he did not live. He had sold a house in the town where Madeline died. And I don't like to say missing, because I believe she died, and that's my opinion. But so he was now renting back his house, and he would go here and there to Praia da Luz, the town where Madeline died. Clement Freud, after he died, was exposed as a vile pedophile of young girls, pretty young girls.
And the McCann spent time with them instead of looking for their daughter.
Yes.
She was hanging out with this man.
Well, they weren't expecting this to ever get out. But then, of course, it was all over the news, because Kate McCann in her book discussed how she just loved Clement Freud. He made her feel so wonderful, and that he was very funny. And one time he asked her if she was, if all these stories about her were true, and if she really was a nymphomaniac. And she bragged about this. So your child is missing. You hardly know this man who is a celebrity, and he's asking you if you are a nymphomaniac. What married woman would find any joy about something like that and write about it in her book as a positive?
Wow.
And that he offered her strawberry daiquiris, and he made the best risotto. Well, once it came out, this guy was just vile and he was now friends with the McCanns, or had been friends with the McCanns, and it actually invited them, people thought that there was a relation with the two, that possibly he was one of the big people that helped the McCanns get away with it. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's very,
yeah.
I mean, that's part of the McCann story, and it's very complicated, but not just that. There is a man named Nigel Nestling, which he used to fundraise for the McCanns. Vile, vile guy. But he did a lot of fundraising for them, and he had pages of fundraising for the McCanns. And he was convicted.
Yeah, talk about the fundraising of the. Yeah, go, so talk about the money spent on the trolls. How they got around that? The PR firm.
The McCanns have a fund that has received $4 million in total. Okay, most of that money is all gone. Okay, they basically squandered this on lawyers and lawsuits and God knows what and fake. PR companies and fake investigators. They basically gave away $1 million to these fake investigators who have all been accused of committing crimes. It's just like amazing. It's like really, of all the amazing investigators in the world that $1 million could pay for, you go and find two criminal agencies. It's like, come on.
Yeah,
like,
Man and
what's
Ox
happening
case is the
there?
Same. Yeah, I think they're connected to Man and Ox again, the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
now go back to
the
trolls,
they want to look like they're searching. They look like they're searching.
Yeah.
So they go and find these people who, with this money thrown at them, you know, of course. I mean, and people are like, well, it's liable that you're saying that. It's like, no, it's not liable. Both of these companies that they hired ended up.
Well, what about now? What did they call the PR trolls, the online trolls they hired? They had a phrase for it. The money they used for that, it was like media.
Oh, okay. So, the amazing thing was that in the court, one of the McCann's family members was asked certain questions. The judges were really onto this. They could see it all, you know, rolling, and the PR was big. So the man ended up admitting in court that they had a media monitoring unit composed, you know, of several people who basically...
Media monitoring unit, uh-huh.
Yes, that's what they could actually had a name for it. And not only that, there was a woman named Sarah Wearden who actually did a whole statement about how she was part of a group of 100 people. This was in the beginning. They had 100. Now I believe there's like 6 of them. And then they make different fake accounts to make it look like they're, you know, bigger and better. So
right.
There's really only a few. And so this woman said, you know, we're a group of 100 volunteers. We work social media. You know, we'll, you know, teach you what to do, blah, 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 blah. And that was, you know, made public also. So, I mean, it's organized. It's what I call it, organized crime, really, because...
they are criminals. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You know, like the police said when I made my report, they said, just keep everything. They didn't believe it was a threat. And he told me, Mrs. McFadden, all of this is happening over. Children are being trolled. He goes, we just cannot, it's so difficult. And, you know, from country to country, he goes, just find solace in the fact that nobody believes these people anymore. When you see the trolling of regular people, and then you see that the person is maybe involved with a particular cause, you know, none of it is true. You just are like, okay, well, I've become even, you know, trolled. You know, great.
Now,
but
now going back to what
like
they did to you,
reviews.
Though. Yeah, yes. The negative reviews, they do that. They on Meredith Kircher's father wrote a book on Amazon, and the Man and Ox trolls would go and write horrible reviews on there, as well as anyone else who wrote an objective book about the crime. But I also want to talk about... I was going to say something about the trolling. They sent you pictures of your house, right?
Yes,
another
okay.
They
so
did.
Well, actually, I reposted it today. Not just this house, my other house. Just crazy things. Like, this is her house. Oh, look at her pool. Look at this. Look at that. In the beginning, when I did my first video in my YouTube channel that they trolled, I had millions of views. When I first did that video, one of them was from my backyard at the house. And And they thought, they couldn't believe that was me. So they thought I was the maid. Somebody actually accused me of being a maid in my own house.
Yeah, I was a maid.
And not a whole lot of European maids in California. And they're like, yes, there's an Isabel McFadden in California, but that can't really be her house. I was like, well, because they are just, they're doing this for money. So they can't imagine that people from a substantial, hardworking background could be against the McCanns, because they are eluded by the money and by, you know, so to them, it's kind of a hate thing. Like, if you have something, I must hate you even more and now try to completely destroy you. So, yeah.
Yeah, they try
to accuse people
of being jealous. You must be jealous of them.
I'm
not jealous.
Which is sad. Who would be jealous of a mother who lost her child? I mean, just that concept itself would be horrendous.
Right.
It's like, why would anybody want to be in the shoes of Kate McCann? But they said that even because the McCanns were accused by one of their friends of some bad, untoward sexual behavior towards Madeline. And that's in the police files. It's the Gaspar statement. And they're doctors themselves. So this is very damaging to the McCanns, very damaging. And their trolls hardly ever mention, they don't like mentioning it at all. If you mention the Gaspar statements, they go online right after your tweet, and they just tweet garbage and puppies and weird things in order to distract from that particular statement. But that was
you can send a link to that. I'm not familiar with that one. Okay.
I have to send it to you. And so, do you know what they said about the doctors? Gaspar was a husband and wife, were doctors who used to be friends with McCann. Basically, that they were jealous of the McCanns. So two doctors were jealous of them. And not only that, because I ended up having some communication. I don't want to go too much into that. But
we only have a few minutes left.
Impeccable. Uh-huh. This is an impressive doctor. And he comes from a family of doctors who is just... He had absolutely nothing to be jealous of.
Yeah, no one's jealous of a couple of pedophiles.
And it's just, it keeps, you know, like this Nigel Nestling, who was raising funds for the McCanns, ends up with something like 40,000 indecent pictures of young children being raped on his computer. And he was convicted.
Wow.
But then the judge let him go, put him on, I don't know, suspended sentence or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
What other abuse? We only have a couple of minutes left. What other abuse would you want to mention that people will look out for when these trolls, these PR trolls that come after you and the experience you had?
What I recommend is to not answer them. You know, I always tell a few people, I said, you know what? Just act like a celebrity. You know, celebrities never answer. They're too busy, you know, with, you know, having to answer to people. So don't answer. Just ignore. The truth is, nobody believes these people, okay? The McCanns, I mean, you do poll after poll, and 90% of people believe that the McCanns are involved in the death of their daughter. So I said, you know what? They are acting out because they're losing. So just ignore. This is what, I mean, there's a woman, Rebecca Sherlock, who's completely obsessed with me. I mean, the moment you announced, she was already, you announced our interview, she was already posting about her. Like, being silly. Somebody
you
sent
are
it to me, and I was like,
I think you are a celebrity.
And I was like, really? And I said, I don't see any of this because I have her blocked, you know, but once in a while, we just had a big laugh. You know, the woman is just desperate, you know, and she has mentioned before that she works for the McCanns and stuff, you know. And obviously, she needs the money. You know, I mean, you can tell, you know. So,
and I sympathize with that, they need, people need money and they need work, but they're,
because,
the but they go, you know, offline with it
their
and
life
harassing.
Depends on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because if they're getting, you know, a few hundred extra dollars every month, you know, which in Europe, you know, it's actually quite a bit.
You're
counting on that money every month.
Right.
Well, but there are reports that some trolls, if you really are on all day, you could make in the thousands, actually, depending on how many, you know, accounts.
And they do. The research they do on people, the way they search all your past pages from years and years ago and all your extended, you know, connections online, they're spending hours and hours and hours. And their personalities, they're usually criminals themselves, right? We're thinking they're usually people that can't get real jobs, so they're...
This is what I'm saying. This is why, you know, a lot of people say, you know, these are people on benefits. Sometimes even in the United States, there's been articles written that it's, you know, people who are ex-convicts. You know, that's a great way to make money because you can't get a job anywhere. And so, you know, that's it. You know, that's really it. It's like that there's money in it. So I literally just don't believe anything anymore. Like, I actually have to research. I look for legal documents, you know, things that I can actually – you know, grab a hold of that cannot be messed with. I mean, look at our media has become, let me finish with this.
Okay.
It should be illegal for anybody accused of a crime or be involved in a crime to use PR. That should be illegal. Because if you're a criminal, you should not have that benefit of distortion because it actually hurts the police investigation. And I will tell you, somebody in the police department in the UK told me, we're not interested in any of these lawsuits and PR. All of these stories are not true. And we're not here to debunk stories. We're the police doing an investigation. Because I asked him, I said, why don't you guys debunk? He goes, it's not our job. It's not our job. You know, recently with Robert Mueller, he had to finally come out because it was so crazy. You know, this new BuzzFeed. It's like, be responsible. If you think somebody is a criminal, let the real story come out. Do not allow for these PR companies to completely change the narrative. You know, I mean, look at Lance Armstrong.
The PR companies are getting more clever now.
With PR.
Because they're not only trolling online in comment sections, but they're also starting podcast shows like the Adnan Syed one and other things. So they're getting – the PR trolls are getting more and more you know, aggressive and trying to get more, you know, doing more things. So you really have to be careful.
Of course, well, it's
now
become big business. It's become big business.
Yeah.
So,
keep a lookout on them. All right. Well, thank you, Isabel Fadden. We've run out of time, but thank you so much for being on the show.
No, you're
really
welcome. Anytime.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.